The dumbest thing of the day.
This is dumb.
Hello, Scott Reed.
Hello, fellas. Listen, I'm just great. I'm all wound up today because I want to talk about money. Specifically, the superhero-sized amounts of money that will soon be going to the ranks of corporate executives in our country. I don't know if you guys read the newspapers, but in this morning's Globe and Mail, it reported that the big six banks are set to hand out monster-sized bonuses this year to their top execs. How big? Well, check this out. The big six banks have set aside $14.6 billion for what's called variable or performance-based pay for the first three quarters of 2021. Just the first three quarters. The final bill could be $4 or $5 billion more than that for the whole year, $20, $21, $22 billion in bonuses. Now, look. You guys have known me a long time. I'm not some kind of communizing vegetarian who wants to strip the capitalist system to its hinges and hang the rich by their handcrafted Bottega Veneta leather belts. But I think coming out of this global trauma that we've been living through for the past 18 months, it's a good time to take stock. And I mean stock, not stocks, not stock options, but stock, as in start to ask ourselves, is this really the sensible, sustainable, best possible approach? In 2019, and that's before the pandemic, so you can bet these numbers are soaring now, the average corporate CEO in Canada made roughly $10.8 million a year. That's 202 times the 50,000-ish a year that average workers make. You want to talk about a recipe for social dislocation, alienation, resentment, and anger? Well, you're freaking looking at it. Those defending these galacticized payments have a bunch of arguments in their favor. They'll say, look, bonuses this year are going to be handed out to everyone because it's been a tough year online and offline with COVID. Fair enough. But for the big shots, they come with a lot more zeros. They'll say that these people do specialized work. Yes, overseeing mergers and acquisitions, deal-making, capital accumulation. These are specialized tasks. But that makes them worth more than anyone else in our freaking society. Again, I don't want to go Bernie Sanders on you guys, but think about the frontline hospital workers, the PSWs who've been looking after our old folks in those retirement homes that were so ravaged with COVID, teachers packed into poorly ventilated classrooms. Like, we know the real issue here. The real issue is that somewhere along the line, compensation got connected to the stock market. And for whatever reason in our modern society, we've decided that's the only measuring tape by which we are going to track money, worth, value, all of that. Between 1978 and 2018, CEO compensation in the U.S. grew by 1,007.5% for regular Joes and Jills. The average lunch bucketer, it grew 11.9%.
Wow.
So this kind of disparity was not inevitable. It was created. It was a decision we made. And frankly, it's a decision that all of us endorse it day in and day out by not saying, come on, seriously, there's got to be rewiring the system. There's got to be rebalancing these scales. I'm not saying these people don't deserve a ton of money. I'm saying they don't deserve all of the money. It's too much. And that's the dumbest thing of the day.
Sure is. So what will you do about any of that, Scott? I think most people would agree with you. It's funny, some of the people that I typically see online screaming about stuff like that are, you know, people who are never going to become CEOs, and they would say, well, what do you want, communism? Like, it would involve the government telling private businesses what they could do and what kind of compensation scale they could legally have, wouldn't it?
No, it doesn't have to. I mean, that's, you could regulate it, but it doesn't have to be that. Back in like 1960s, 1970s, even into the 1980s, 1989, you know, the average CEO made about 50 times what the typical worker makes. Right? It's more than four times that now. In the United States, it's 377 times what the typical worker makes. Yeah. So one of the ways is we could say, you know what, compensation ought not to be necessarily attached to performance in the stock market or a smaller portion thereof. We can say that as shareholders because we're all big shareholders now. Everybody's got our RSPs. That's part of the argument for this, right? Yeah. Well, don't worry, Jim. You're making money off this too because your portfolio increased in value. You've got a bunch of RSPs, and therefore, you know, you're counting on these CEOs to do their job. Oh, and God help us. If we don't pay them huge amounts of money, well, then they'll be poached by the other company. Yeah, except that all these boards approve these pay packets on that basis, but half of the boards are composed with the same people, and it sort of is. So I, as shareholders, as consumers, we can say, sorry, guys, we want to see a different balance. We want to see a different mix. And we can get on the ass of politicians and say, why isn't this a debatable issue? Why isn't this something that people are trying to do? Why don't we talk about it a little bit more often? Nobody even talks about it. And I don't want to sound like the freaking guy yelling on his front lawn. God knows I have lots of corporate clients. I work with a lot of people in the finance sector. But, you know, like, it's out of whack, man. It's out of whack.
Yeah, we're actually hearing from, you know, from one of our friends, Amanda Lang at BNN Bloomberg, essentially saying, she said with our colleague Evan Solomon, that, you know, eventually government will step in on corporate wage disparities. But I wonder if that eventually is ever really going to come, because they sort of benefit from each other, do they not? It's almost a symbiotic puckerfish sort of relationship.
Not really. I mean, you can make that argument in the United States where, you know, everybody's having an election with wide open spending limits. And so money really does rule the roost. And there's a lot of corporate donations. So that's just not really the case in Canada. So, you know, as much as people want to talk about it, politicians in this country, they're not bought and paid for. They're not bought and sold. That's just not true. It's not fair. So the real reason is that, you know, we are an integrated, we're part of an integrated global economy, right? And you don't want to say, well, you know what, we're going to pay our executive squat. And then, you know, we lose those people with those talents and they'll go work in New York and Hong Kong. And those people can transport themselves, unlike the rest of us, maybe. But like, it's just got to be a better balance. I think it will actually happen in the States. I think that the discussion here will occur when people in the U.S. say, you know what, this disparity has gotten too grave. And the reason it will happen there will be politics, not business. Because you see now the Republican Party, it's turned itself into a populist movement.
Yeah.
Right? What do? Hate on the rich. Hate on those who have what I don't. All that. So that's where I think it'll get sparked.
I just wonder, I mean, we see Target down in the United States saying they're not going to open on Black Friday. I wonder if that sort of thing, I mean, we had a couple of big corporations. I mean, what if you had Amazon do something like this and say, you know what, we're going to share the pie a little bit more. And everybody thought, I know when Pierre Poilievre was going on, oh, Trudeau wants to reset the economy. Well, what would be wrong with taking a look at how vulnerable people are? And we've got in a magnifying glass called a pandemic, pointing out where the economy doesn't necessarily work for a lot of people in the margins. And you can call that communism if you want, or you can just say, hey, how are we going to make this work better for everyone, including people who can't afford homes in places like Toronto or just in general? I mean, we even see Doug Ford getting on board going, hey, oh yeah, that $15 an hour that I didn't like before, now it's pretty cool.
Well, this is exactly where I was going. And you know what? Amanda's correct. And I'll return to what she was saying, because I think this is
like,
how
you didn't like anything that I had to say.
No, I'm in agreement with what I'm saying. No. But Amanda's agreeing with you too, right? Like, because what you're saying is this disparity unleashes forces and they unleash tensions. And, you know, the real message that you got to think about, and I joke around, but I'm not a communized vegetarian, right? Like, I work with people on Bay Street all the time as part of my own business. And, you know, the message you got to get sinking in is, guys, if you don't recognize that the disparity is galloping, especially in the aftermath of a pandemic, way out of whack, then you do beg some kind of corrective measure being imposed on you, as opposed to taking control of it yourself and saying, all right, let's make sense of this. And I mean, in many respects, it's got to be something that comes down to board governance. Boards have to say, we got to like stick our head out the window and take a look around. It's a K-shaped recession. You know, the stock market outperformed during this pandemic, and that meant that a lot of those organizations did well. It means now they want to pay off their execs with big bonuses. That is going to be a tin ear drumbeat to the rest of us.
I mean, to a certain extent, maybe we've got to redefine what a white-collar crime is. I mean,
no kidding.
This is kind of highway robbery left and right we see in almost, you know, every boardroom.
Scott Reed and the dumbest thing of the day.
That was
always
really dumb, Scott. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, really dumb. Thank you for your time.
You can count on me.